Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Okay, you may be seated. Now, it's clear that the Lord is honoring his promises, as we would expect. And a great release is happening. Virtually every time we meet, God is doing more. Wednesday night, Sunday morning, yesterday morning, more and more freedom of the Spirit is happening. But God's got a lot more to do. I mean, we've been here many times before, and we want God to take us beyond what is happening now. I want to show you what he is doing and what he intends to do from Scripture. So if you turn to Isaiah 57, right at the beginning of this term, we had this revelation afresh of what it means to say that Christ is in us. And when I was interviewing students earlier in the term, it's amazing how several of you said that was the most significant thing that had really happened to you while you've been a student here, that revelation, what it really means to say that Christ is in you. It's the complementary truth to knowing that we are in Christ Jesus. And so here is this wonderful truth that God is reigning and ruling in heavenly places, and yet he lives in us. Now, of course, God doesn't do anything without announcing it. So 700 years before he did this, he announced it. It doesn't mean you have to wait for 700 years for everything the Lord announces. But this one, that was the case. Verse 15. For this is what the High and Lofty One says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place. Now that's Jesus Christ, risen, ascended, glorified, victorious. He lives in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit. See, even there, God was saying what he was going to do when the new covenant was established. He was going to be living in the high and the holy place, but also with the humble. Because that's basically what he is saying there. And the most important thing, you see, if we want to really live in God's best, is to be in that place of humility before him. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so that in due time he may exalt you. What is repentance? Repentance involves humbling ourselves before God, acknowledging that we need his forgiveness, acknowledging that we need to surrender our lives to him as Lord. You will find, as God's reviving purposes continue to unfold, that humility will become more and more important. And the quickest way to end revival is pride. As soon as people get proud that a revival is happening, the revival will cease. It's a question of really remaining in that place of humility, because whatever God is doing, God is doing. We're not doing it, he's doing it. So there isn't actually anything to be proud about. There's a lot to be thankful for. thankful for what God is doing, but all the glory belongs to him. Now, why does he do this? Why does he not only dwell in the high and holy place, but also with the humble? Well, to revive the spirit, not the spirit of the proud, but the spirit of the lowly, the spirit of the humble. Now, one of the things that the humble do is they accept the will of God for their lives. Obedience, Jesus says, is the result of love. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. It's also evidence of submission. As in Jesus' own life, I have not come to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. It is also the outworking of humility, that we are not raising ourselves above what God is saying. We're not contending with God. We're not resisting God. But we are humbly flowing with God in his plan and his purposes. So God likes to dwell with the lowly. I think humble is going to help us a little bit more. But you see, Paul says that God didn't choose the wise, the clever, the wealthy. He chose the humble. He chose the weak and the foolish, which is why you qualify to be here. But he doesn't leave us foolish. He leaves us weak, as we've been seeing. Paul even says we are weak in him. But then he had learned this great truth from God that if he boasts in his weakness, then the power of God will rest upon him. So he knows that he will remain weak, but the Lord is his strength. But he's not to remain foolish, because Christ is his wisdom. And Christ is our wisdom from God, our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. And we've looked at all that in recent weeks to see more and more of what that means. So his purpose in dwelling within us and among us is to revive us. Now, this is a much overused word today. As soon as the Holy Spirit breaks out anywhere, people call it revival. And it might be revival in the sense that it's better than anything people have known. Everybody's getting all excited about what God is doing in Florida. You see, to me, that isn't revival, because I've experienced something better. And if you've experienced something better, then you don't consider that you're revived until you're back in the best that you've ever known. Can you understand? There's some great and wonderful things happening there, but there's some very important elements that are not happening there. And what God wants to do is to revive his people, not just to perform signs and wonders and, you know, everybody have a good time because some people are getting healed. That's part of his purpose, but it's not the core of his purpose. Amen? Because his desire is to reach nations. And even Jesus couldn't reach nations with signs and wonders and miracles. They were there as part of his ministry, but he knew that what was going to impact the nations was that he humbled himself and became obedient even to death, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 2. So it's not just a question of saying, wow, you know, God is doing something good here. There is so much more that God has to do that you can never say, I've arrived. Are you with me? You can never say, I've arrived. We're there. As soon as people think that, they stop reaching out for more. But God always has more. Amen? So, he wants to revive the spirit of the humble. What does that mean? You don't get revived until you're humble. Until you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so that he might exalt you. Are you there? To revive the heart of the contrite. You see, the wonderful thing that God has been, one of the wonderful things that God has been speaking into our lives these last few weeks is to make it quite clear to us that we can't do anything ourselves. And if we can't do anything ourselves, then that throws us into total dependence on the Lord. And when we're dependent upon the Lord, then he can work in the ways that he has chosen. Amen? So here's this whole process that he lives in this high and holy place, but the one who lives there also lives with those who are lowly or humble. Now, the one who lives in you is the one who is in a high and holy place. It's not a different Christ who lives in you. It's not the human Jesus who lives in you. It's the same risen, glorified Christ who lives in you as the one who is reigning in glory over heaven. Now, if the one who is reigning in glory has come to live in you, what does he want to do in your life? He wants to reign in glory. He wants his glory to be revealed here on earth. He wants his kingdom to be manifested. He wants his risen, glorified life to be seen in you and in me. Are you there? Praise God. Because if that's his purpose, that's what he's working towards. Amen. So it's great. You have an extended time of worship, as happened yesterday. And you get a greater sense of the glory of God, of the presence of God, of the holiness of God. But there's a real so what to that. Well, so what? I mean, you had a great time of worship with the Lord, but so what? I mean, the world is not changed because we had a great time of worship here yesterday. Remember, there's always a so that to everything God is doing. So what he is doing now is just getting us ready for his so that's.
Come on, it's good.
You see, actually, every day should be like yesterday. Not that we necessarily go on for 3 hours, but we have to make ourselves stop because we have other things to do. But the anointing hasn't run out. The presence of the Lord hasn't disappeared. We have no desire to stop. It's just that we must because there are other things we've got to address. So that's how it's supposed to be. You see, revival is not something extraordinary. Revival is God bringing his people back to where they should be anyway. To doing what ought to be happening in the church all the time. To revive is to bring back to life. That's what the word means. Amen? So you can have touches of revival because God revives his power, revives faith, revives people in healing. But what he wants above all is to revive his church in his purposes. Now, if he's reviving his church and his purposes, it isn't that some great thing is happening here, there, or everywhere, but that all his people are able to manifest this glory of God in their daily lives, in what God is doing in them and through them. So, of course, he wants us to meet with him in his glory, to be impacted with his glory, so that we can impact the world. And you see, our ability to impact the world comes out of our meeting with God. That's why the things that are happening in Florida, because one man met with God and has been meeting with God, and so God is using that man in what to most people seem an extraordinary thing, but actually things like that are happening all over the world. You go to crusades and places like Revival, and there's meetings like that happening where you see thousands of people saved and healed and wonderful miracles happening. But there's no television cameras there, and there's no publicity there. There's just thousands of desperate people. But you see, God has not got anything new to do. He hasn't got a new trick to pull out of the hat. There's no new rabbit to bring out of the bag or anything like that. It's simply bringing his church back to what ought to be happening anyway. Are we there? Now, what ought to be happening or what needs to be happening? In other words, what will God do as a result of dwelling not only in a high and holy place, but with the lowly? Well, let's see. I've got to be selective, because you could say the whole of the rest of Isaiah answers that question. But we'll just look at a few things. Verse 18, I have seen his ways. Now, those are the ways of his people. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. So this healing is a focal point of God's revival purposes. But what in this context does he mean by healing? He doesn't mean just some healings. He wants to heal his people by restoring them to the life that they're supposed to be living anyway. He's bringing them out of disobedience back into obedience. Hello? So I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. It's his ways he will heal. Hello? Not just his body. I will guide him and restore comfort to him. That is, I will restore strength. I will restore power. Comfort in Scripture, the word actually means to come alongside to give strength to. That's what the word comfort means. It doesn't mean to say, there, there, you poor dear, you're having such a hard time at Roffey, but I know. It's nearly the end of term. It's all right. You will survive. That is not comfort.
Come on.
Comfort is God coming to live there to be your strength. So the Holy Spirit is the comforter, the one who comes to live in you, and he is your strength. You remain weak, but he is your strength. So I will guide him and restore comfort to him, creating praise on the lips of the mourners in Israel. So when these revival purposes are taking place, God restores praise to the lips of his people. So that was a good sign, wasn't it? What God has been doing in that respect. Because that's different from singing songs. But restoring a real heart of praise, a real heart of worship to his people, a real desire to worship and glorify him. And nobody wants to go and do something else, because there's nothing better than praising God. Okay, peace, peace to those far and near, says the Lord, and I will heal them. Now, peace is a very important part of healing. You remember, it said in Isaiah 53 that the punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Absolutely. We are only healed by his stripes because he has borne the punishment that brought us peace. Amen? So what happens in a time of revival is not just great God doing great things, but God brings people back to the place where they are at peace with him because they are now so surrendered to his will, his plan, and his purpose. There's no tension between you and the Lord because you come through to a place of being totally submitted to him as far as that is possible in the lives of any of us. You know, we can think we're totally submitted and then God shows us a way in which we're not. But that's because there's something we don't appreciate is not submission to him. But, you know, in our hearts we desire to be totally surrendered to his will, to his purpose. Anybody getting this? Okay. So he brings people back to the place of peace. In other words, we're no longer fighting stuff and thinking, you know, what do I have to do to get rid of this area of disobedience or this tension or this problem? We're at peace. We just, it's like the old hymn that says, it is well with my soul. You know, you just know everything, it's good. Everything between me and the Lord, it's good. It's well. And that's what he has done, isn't it? That's part of revival. Huh? Okay, now, if we go on in chapter 58, shout it aloud, do not hold back, raise your voice like a trumpet. Now, in the book of Revelation, when God speaks, his voice sounds like a trumpet. These are prophetic words that refer to the Messiah and to all those who belong to him. So God is doing what he is doing in us because the time has come when we will need to raise our voice and sound the clear note of the trumpet. Now, that's not just by what you say, it's by what you are. Because if your voice is going to sound like a trumpet, it's going to be heard. When Raoul plays his trumpet, it rises above all the other instruments. Hello? You hear, oh, Raoul's playing his trumpet. So, when your voice is like a trumpet, you get people's attention. But you see, when you get the attention of the world is not so gullible as Christians. Christians can be very gullible. They want to accept what people say because they want to accept it. They want it to be true, you know. But the world isn't like that. The world challenges everything you say and wants evidence of what you say. They want you to be able to substantiate what you say. So when the voice of the church sounds like a trumpet, the world is going to look and challenge and say, verify that. In other words, let's see it. Not just hear about it. Mm-hmm. I was watching a little bit of what's going on in Lakeland a few days ago, and Tabelny was talking about the fact that he's getting so much media attention, a major secular stations in the States and press and so on are all creating an interest, and his attitude was, come on then, because you know, we can verify and substantiate what is happening. So, you see, when God begins to move, not just in signs and wonders now, I'm talking about a full move of revival, the world is going to take notice. But what the world will take particular notice of is are the supernatural things. We found that in Luton. It was those things that got the world's attention. But you see, if genuine things are happening, when the world challenges those things, the world sees that they are genuine.
That's right.
But it's right that they should be challenged. So, you know, the world doesn't want to hear a testimony of somebody saying, I've been healed of cancer. They want to see the scans. They want to see the medical evidence. They want to see what the situation was like beforehand and what has happened now. And they want to know that there was no medical way in which that could have happened. Uh-huh. But that's fine. Because if we're dealing with reality, then we're going to have real results. We're not going to have just claims. You see, Christians don't worry about that. Say, oh, yeah, praise the Lord, hallelujah. We read a yellow card out, an orange card or whatever, on Sunday, somebody be healed of cancer. We go, yeah. But the world doesn't do that. The world says, prove it. So all these things have got to be substantiated. Amen? Because the world isn't as gullible as Christians. Why do I say gullible? Because in revivals or any time, there are always going to be those that will make false claims. And without mentioning any names, certain well-known healing evangelists have been undone in the media again and again because they've put somebody up on a platform, said they've been healed of this, that, and the other, and the medical evidence doesn't substantiate that. In some cases, they weren't even that sick. So when the world challenges it and says, come on, prove it, they uncover a whole lot of duplicity. Now, I don't blame the healing evangelists because sometimes it's just a person wanting attention, wanting to be up there on the platform, wanting to be on television, wanting others to say, oh, what a wonderful thing God has done in your life. But it's not real. What am I saying? God has been talking to me in these last few weeks about many things. But one thing he's been saying to me is he says, I commend you because you only want what is genuine. You want the genuine move of my spirit. Nothing superficial, nothing flaky. You only want what is real. That's why I'm not interested in publicity. What I'm interested in is reality. Because our God is real. And I want to be sure that every claim we make in these coming months is real. There's going to be a lot of major healings happening at Faith Camp this year, but I'm going to be sure that we don't have anybody up there on the platform testifying or anybody claiming something unless we know it's real. Because the time has come for our voice to sound like a trumpet, and the world is rightly going to challenge whatever we claim. And I'm glad of that. Because we don't want false claims. We never have to exaggerate what God does. Have you noticed that Jesus never exaggerated? He never needed to. What was happening was good and mighty and real enough without ever having to exaggerate or make a case for himself. So what the Lord has been saying to me is, Colin, just keep your heart desiring the pure move of my spirit. Because I know from experience that what so often you get is it's not revival, because you get a move of God, but it's mixed in with all kinds of other stuff. And what you get at the end is mixture. And mixture cannot revive either the church or the nation. It's got to be the pure work of the Spirit. Now, God is working through imperfect human channels and vessels. We recognize that. But what we're talking about is a heart and a heart motivation. Can you understand what I'm saying? We want everything that God does in our lives to be real and powerful and effective and long-lasting. Not just temporary things, temporary blessing, temporary alleviation of symptoms or anything like that. We want the real work of the Holy Spirit. We want the pure work of the Holy Spirit. So for that to happen, God says you've got to dig a deep well, because the deeper the well, the purer the water. And it means that God confronts us with the impurities in our lives, because, you see, that means the channel has got to be as pure as the channel can be, so that the channel does not contaminate, if you like, or taint the thing that the Holy Spirit is wanting to do in and through us and among us. Anybody understand what I'm saying this morning? Okay, now, why is this? Well, look at the next thing. Declare to my people their rebellion. Now, rebellion is disobedience to the Lord, isn't it? Rebellion is going against God's will. Hello?
Yes.
Now, how can those who are not against God's will themselves in their own lives possibly sound the note, the clear note of the trumpet? Do we have any believers here this morning? You see, this is the point. If God is saying, right, I need a holy people that are going to confront the church first and then the nation with its rebellion, there has to be a people in whom there's no trace of rebellion. Why? Because otherwise the world will turn back and say, well, you're no better yourselves. And that's what the world constantly says about the church. The church is no different from anybody else. And that's an indictment on the church, because that's what the world perceives. Whereas the world ought to see, we are very different. And we should desire to be different, because John says, we don't have any love for the world, for worldliness. We love the people. But if we love the world, we cannot fulfill the purposes of Christ. Hello? If we want to live as the world lives, by the standards of this world, we've got nothing to say to the world. Are you breathing? But actually the rebellion, God always addresses the rebellion in the church before he addresses it in the nation. Judgment begins with the household of God. So God has to have a holy people, and a holy people are those who have humbled themselves, not who in pride stand in a place of rebellion against God. Are we there? Okay, now, if we go on to verse 6, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice? So what is God actually calling us to do? He's calling us, he's working amongst us to revive us so that our voice will sound like a trumpet, right? But what we say and what we back up by our actions is going to have some very positive and powerful effects. Look what it's going to do. To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, and to break every yoke.
Come on.
Now, we're talking about what God, the Holy Spirit, is going to do through you and me and others who get revived. Why? Because, you see, if we're in that humble place of submission to God, His authority comes through. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But you will also be able to exercise his power and his authority to break the yoke of oppression over other people's lives. Curses will be broken. God was breaking curses off people on Sunday morning. I mean, we didn't sort of come at it from that angle, but, you know, as we flowed with the Spirit, God's saying that those things were being broken. Things were being broken off people. Things that have been there to curse people, to hold them back in the purposes of God. They were being liberated and set free. Why? Because God begins the process in the church, so that then we as the church can go and do the stuff in the world. So when you go out in placements, listen, you're going out to do this stuff.
Come on.
You're not going out there just to lead a prayer meeting. I mean, you're going out there to break yokes. You're going out there to break curses. Amen. But if you go with a spirit of pride, don't bother to come back here.
That's good.
We don't want you at Faith Camp. You go out with a spirit of humility and God will use you.
Come on. It's good.
If I get telephone calls saying, this student you sent us is so proud, I shall say, well, don't send him back. Because we don't want him here. Or her. Amen. Because that, you know, we warn students that every year, and some clown goes and makes out that because he's been to Rafi, he knows everything, more than the pastor.
Yeah.
Starts to correct the pastor.
Yeah.
That's not what placements are for.
Absolutely.
You just go and set some captives free, and that'll bless the pastor. Because obviously he hasn't, but you can go and do it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then, now look. Two things that God is going to talk about as the outcome of revival. One is light, and the other is water. Now, light speaks of the Word and water of the Holy Spirit. When the Word is operating through our lives with authority, light happens. See, the first thing that God said when He created was, let there be light. And there was light. And then Paul says, with the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore speak. Let there be light where there was darkness. Listen, my friends. I want you to understand you have the authority to speak like that in the name of the Lord. Let there be healing, and there will be healing.
Come on. Come on.
Let there be release from bondage, and there will be release from bondage. If you are speaking with a spirit of faith, and the first thing that God was doing on Sunday morning was releasing that spirit of faith in people. Right. Because everything else depends on it. You can have all the anointing in the world, but if you don't have the faith, you won't put the anointing to use.
That's it. That's
right. Are we getting there? Now, look what happened. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing as a people, not just from your diseases, you understand, although it can include that, and your healing will quickly appear. In other words, God will have a healed church, a healed body. Amen. Not a lame body, not a crook body, but a healed body. So that's an Australianism, crook, but it's a good word for when people are not well. It's, you know, how are you today? Oh, I'm feeling a real crook, which means I'm not feeling very well. But, I mean, God clears out all crook from the church.
Come on. That's it.
Hallelujah. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your... Now, who is our righteousness? Christ. Your righteousness going before you means Christ will go before you. And who is your glory? Christ. And Christ will be your rear guard. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I, because I'm in you and I'm working through you and I'm establishing my purposes through you. Come on, God wants to send you out with confidence next week. Not with trepidation. Right. Not we're going with pride, but we're going with confidence. And there's a big difference between pride and confidence. Okay. So then, verse 10. Well, no, we'll just read on. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, the pointing finger and malicious talk, no judging of others. So God's not sending you out to judge anyone. Are we hearing it? And if you spend yourself on behalf of the hungry, including the spiritually hungry, and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness. You're a bearer of light. It's not just what happens on placements. I mean, that, it just means that you are now about to have the opportunity to put into practice all this stuff. But for all of us, wherever we are, those of us who are staying here, those of us on the team, I mean, all this is true for us here. Amen. Then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. That sounds pretty good. The darkest night becomes like the brightest sunlight. That seems a pretty good transformation to me. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. Now, wouldn't it be good if that was a prophetic word about this summer? I'd love this to become a sun-scorched land. You can have all the global warming you like, so long as this is a sun-scorched land. Because the Lord will satisfy the needs in a sun-scorched land. Amen. And will strengthen your frame. Then look at this. The light and the water, I said. You will be like a well-watered garden. Why? Because you haven't got a cup of water, you've got a well. You've got a well. You've dug your well. And you can draw endlessly upon that living water that is in your well. Amen. So you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Hallelujah. Now, what does that mean? It means wherever God sends you, or even if he keeps you here, whatever, wherever you're going, you always have all the resources you need for whatever God puts in front of you. Hallelujah. Is this good or is this good? Praise God. Then there's all sorts of other wonderful promises. But we'll go down to verse 14. Then you will find your joy in the Lord. You won't go look. You know, people say, oh, get a life. What do they mean? It means that they're not so holy as you are. They think you're wasting your time. Why don't you just... But listen, if we are moving in the purposes of God, one of the things that people will see in our lives is sheer joy.
Right. Absolutely.
Sheer joy. What a joy to see God doing what he's doing. What a joy to see the way God is transforming lives. What a joy to know that you're in the purposes of God. You're in the plan of God. You're moving ahead in obedience to God. What a joy. And when you come into the presence of the Lord, you don't have to keep excusing yourself. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, Lord, I've done it again. Oh, Lord, I've done it. Oh, Lord, I need the victory in this. No, there's that sheer joy because there's sheer peace.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But that doesn't mean that we need a great catalogue of sins every time we come before the Lord. In fact, when you come before the Lord, you should really have to scratch around to find any sin. Because if you did do anything wrong, the Holy Spirit will convict you immediately. You deal with it long before you ever get to your time of prayer. Amen? I mean, as soon as you're aware of it, it's, Lord, forgive me. Right there and then, bang, immediately, Lord, forgive me. Then you don't have to sort of wade through a whole load of clag before you even start to meet with God in your prayer time. Are we all on the same planet here? Okay. So then you will find your joy, and I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land. I think this is good stuff, don't you? And to feast on the inheritance. Here's the abundance. See, here's the abundance. Praise God. Oh, well, I'm praising him. You can do what you like. So let's go on then to the end of chapter 59, where God is speaking about his covenant relationship with his people. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit who is on you and my words that I have put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth or from the mouths of your children or from the mouths of your descendants from this time on and forevermore, says the Lord. God is doing such a number on you that it's going to affect your kids and your grandkids. Even though you haven't got them yet. Even though you're searching for the husband or wife or whatever it is, the promise is there. The promises are for your children and your grandchildren. My children and my grandchildren all love the Lord. Why? Because I believed this promise years and years ago. I said, right, Lord, it's not only for me, it's for my children and my grandchildren. Amen. And what God is doing now is a revival for a generation. So that if it's revival for a generation, it's going to affect your kids and your grandkids. They are going to grow up in revival. They're not going to just grow up as Christians. They're going to grow up in this continuous move of God. So then, chapter 60, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. What is happening now? The glory of the Lord is rising upon us. That's what's happening. The glory of the Lord rises upon us. Puratapakara zatupakarasita palantama. Oh, hallelujah. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you. Now, who is this Lord that is rising upon you? It's the one who is high, who lives in a high and holy place, but also with the lowly. And he's rising upon you. Actually, you sense him rising up within you. What is being bold in faith? You are bold in faith when the Lord rises up within you. And you know it's not you, it's him in you. And it's like, you know, you're saying to the devil, cop a load of this because it's Christ in me. It's not me. This is Christ in me. On your way. But the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. Why? Because you're going and doing the stuff, not because you're having good meetings.
Come on.
Hello. Listen. Revival is not meetings.
That's true.
Revival is not meetings.
That's right.
There are meetings during revival, but the revival isn't the meetings.
That's it.
It was great when I was watching what was on, going on in Florida the other day, that in the morning sessions, and Dr. Maloney is going to be there doing some of these sessions, I think next week, either this week or next week, is that they are training people and sending them out to do the stuff. That's great, because revival isn't the meetings. Revival is getting everybody going. But then it's making the point, this is just to train you so that when you go back to where you come from, you go out and do it. Amen. Okay. So nations will come to your life. Yes! I mean, starting with this nation, eh? You see, it's light and water. Yes? Light and water. Goodness gracious me. You see, somebody's moved the table on. Without even asking. They're forgiven. Just that now this jolly thing's fallen on my foot. But it's healed in the name of Jesus. Sorry, it wasn't that hurt. Nations will come to your light.
Yes.
It's not that we want nations to gather here, but they will come to the light, not to us, but to the light. And he is the light. That's what we're interested in.
That's it.
Uh-huh. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Be quite neat to have a few kings in the NRC.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Although by then we'd be out of the NRC, won't we? Because it'd be far too small. Anyway. Lift up your eyes and look about you, all assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar and your daughters are carried on the arm. Your sons and your daughters are those who come to faith through you. Hello? Then you will look and be radiant. I'm just looking for the radiance. See, we've got to do more than have a good few meetings before we get the radiance.
Yeah.
Got to go out there and do the stuff.
Yes,
we've got to see.
Amen.
Got to see.
Come on.
See
Come
what
on.
God does.
It's good.
Yes? Oh, hallelujah. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. God gave me a word the other day. He just said to me, I'm going to give you the wealth of nations. And I was thinking, Lord, you know, just a few million would do. But he said, no, I'm going to give you the wealth of nations. And then I come across this morning when I'm praying. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you, and to you the riches of the nations will come. And when I'd forgotten all about this scripture when the Lord said that. I wasn't looking at the scripture and saying, yeah, I'm in for that. No, it was a word from God.
Hallelujah.
The wealth of nations.
Yes.
Oh, shh. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah, the riches of the nations will come. Are we getting this?
Yeah.
Dear Lord, what on earth is going on here? What's that? It's like a Meccano set up here this morning. I have a car boot sale. Right. Get rid of a lot of it. Right. So where do we go from here? At one with him and out. And out with him. So, you know, God's timing is always perfect. It's very neat that he's doing what he's doing now. And we're all going to disperse. So it doesn't just become a series of good meetings.
That's it. That's very good.
Now, the good thing about this, students, is all your support is going to leave you on Monday, and you will only have Jesus. You can't take the worship band with you. You can't take any of the teachers with you. You can't take your life group with you. You can't take anybody to disciple you. There's Jesus and there's you.
Come on.
And while you're going out there to change the nation, I'm going on holiday. Now, is that a coincidence? No. This is the plan of God. I'll tell you why. For several months, God has been talking to me about the breakthrough, the release that is coming here this year. I said about it at the beginning of the year. God's been speaking. And he's been saying to me, with your apostolic anointing, you will bring release. But what will be different now from the past is you won't run with the release. Others will run with it. Your job is just to create the release, because that's your apostolic anointing. Then others will run with it. So God's getting me out of the way. It's good I wasn't here yesterday morning. I didn't need to be. A release came last week. A release came on Sunday morning. Others run with it. See? Clive and the leadership team will run with what's happening in the church. Everybody will be running with it all through the groups at the camp.
Yes. Right. Come on.
So, I mean, what did I do on Wednesday? Hardly anything. Prayed for about 5-10 minutes, but a release happened. Release happened on Sunday. You see, that's just using the... It's got nothing to do with me. It's just the anointing, isn't it? So all the glory goes to God. But in the past, whenever I've seen release in various ways and God has moved us into a revival, I've always had to be sort of, if you like, the one who's overseeing everything that happens as a result of the breakthrough. But this is where it's different now. And hallelujah. That's good. Not that I'll retire, but I'm still going to be part of what's happening. But I don't need to lead what is happening. Just do the breakthrough. Send people out.
Come on.
Others will lead. Others will develop what is happening. Particularly Pastor Clive.
Absolutely. It's true.
So you see, God's planning is absolutely perfect. So we don't just get meeting-centered. You go out and do the stuff. And when you come back, I'll come back from holiday. And then we'll hear all the wonderful testimonies. Not just signs and wonders, it'll be more than that.
That's right.
Why? Because what you're going to do is not just pray about what you're going to do when you're out on placement, but you're going to get before God. You're going to meet with him in his holiness and his glory. And the presence of the Lord will go into everything you do that day.
Come on.
That's the key.
Right. That's it.
Not that you're just trying to do things, that you come back with an impressive array of testimonies. But you're meeting with God. And because you meet with God, others will meet with God. And let me tell you, if you leave behind you, even if it's just a group within the church, if you leave behind you a group of people who are meeting with God, that is going to produce more fruit than just coming back with a couple of good healings under your belt.
Absolutely right.
Right.
So, praise God. But, I mean, you don't have to have one or the other. You can have both. A people meeting with God and a few good healings under your belt.
Yeah.
Amen. So let's all stand, shall we? Because we're going to meet with God now. Hallelujah. Pura taparaza taparazitaria leto bakara sitri santo. Baratabarazataria Lerabakara Sitri Sang. Paratabarazataria Lerabakara Sitri Satu Bakara Sandu. Baratabarazataria Lerabakara Sitaba. Baratabara Zatari Alera Bakara Sidri Sando Bakara Sidri Satu Baratabara Zatari Alera Bakara Sidri Sando Boloto Bakara Sidri Sando Baratabara Zatari Alera Bakara Sidri Satu Bakara Sando. Come on, Jesus.
Well watered garden. Like a spring whose waters never fail. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Purata parazata parazitoba. Barata parazataria lerabakarazitoba. Thank you that there's great growth and fruitfulness in a well-watered garden. And we thank you, Lord, that you are working amongst us so that we go and bear much fruit. Much lasting fruit for the glory of your name. And we give you all the praise, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Purata parazataria letu bakarasitaba. Barata parazataria lera bakarasitri satuba. Barata parazatu bakarasitaba. Thank you, Lord, we're like a spring whose waters never run dry. Thank you, Lord, that we've hit the water table now. The well is dug and the water is beginning to rise up, to spring up. It's going to pour out of that well like a mighty fountain. We've got a gusher beginning here and we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Hallelujah. Sarata parazata bakarasiturizatuba. Barata parazatari elera bakarasiturizanduma. Oh, we bless your wonderful name. We praise your wonderful name. Thank you, Lord, that you live in a high and holy place, but you also will live with the humble. And Lord, we just delight to humble ourselves under your mighty hand. And we thank you that you lift us up in due time. And we give you all the glory, Lord, that you are going to be exalted. You will be glorified in what you do among us, in what you do through us. We praise your wonderful name. Purata parazata parazata paratuba. Barata parazata parasituri sandu. Barata parazata parasituri satuba. Barata parazatari elera bakarasito di sanduma. Barata parazatari aletu bakarasito ba. Barata parazata parazito di zaduba. Baralano marazato bakarasito ba. Barata parazatari elera bakarasito ba. Barandaria zatu bakarasito ba. Oh, Lord, thank you that we're going to raise our voices like the trumpet. Oh, the clear note of the trumpet. And we thank you, Lord, that people are going to hear. People who before would not have heard are going to hear. They're going to hear what you're saying. They're going to see you at work. Lord, it's going to be absolutely undeniable that you are doing great and mighty and wonderful things, that you are impacting lives, that you are transforming people. And we give you all the glory, we give you all the honor, we give you all the praise, and we bless you, Jesus, and we bless you, Lord, and we praise you, mighty God, and we give you all the glory, we give you all the honor, we give you all the praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from the pit. He crowns me with love and compassion. Oh, hallelujah. And he grants the desires of my heart. Oh, I praise you, Lord. I bless you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory to your name. Porata parazata parazato bakarasito ba. Barata parazatari elera bakarasito ba. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's not about meetings. It's about meeting with you. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Thank you that we can meet with you wherever we go. Oh, whatever we're doing. Purata parazato ba. We thank you that from deep within us, rivers of living water are going to flow out. And we give you all the glory, Jesus. Oh, we thank you for the release that is taking place in these days. And Lord, we just release the anointing to go and bear fruit for you. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's really thank the Lord. Let's thank the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.